I am most pleased to introduce today what is really a very special seminar. Dr. Abu Lasha, who is co-sponsored by Souter Science as well as the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, will talk about, in essence, this book, I Shall Not Hate, A Journey of Hope Through Faith, Tolerance, and Courage is the title of his seminar talk. And so he's going to talk about his experience. He's a doctor, a physician. He's worked a lot in peace building. He's had been involved in conflict and seeing the pain, experienced the pain, the terror, the agony that comes from that. He currently resides in Canada, in the University of Toronto. He is an associate professor there at the University of Toronto, and is very active in scholarship and peace work, etc. We were just delighted to have him. Near the end of his talk, we'll have opportunities for questions, and so as he speaks, if you have questions, you'll have an opportunity to ask them near the end. Let's welcome our speaker.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the end of the day, and I hope you are not tired from classes, listening to many things, and maybe, as we call the end, to be the closing good end of my visit and the impact, and to have that message with you, to share with you my life, my experience. And I think it's time for us to come now, by the end of the day, and address one thing, not as students, not as professors. One address, it's a humanity, to be human. And to take it with us, because by the end of the day, we are a human, and we need to live it and to practice it in our life. I have been here for 2 days, yesterday and today. I was inspired, and I will leave more hopeful about doing more in this world and to give more to this world. And that the mission resonates with the people. So it's my enormous privilege and happiness to be here with you, to share with you my story and my experience in life, and this book, I Shall Not Hate, which carries a universal, a human message. It's not about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, as one may think of being a Palestinian, worked in Israel. It's about our world. What is going in our world? Because I see most of you are students. I encourage you as students to look around, to ask, to learn, and then to act. In our world, which is endemic with violence, with hatred, with anger, with fear, with injustice, what can we do to make a difference in it? Number one, not to continue turning a deaf ear or a blind eye. In our world, we must show that life everywhere is precious and that none is ignored or considered unworthy of a secure and a prosperous life. And realize that there can't be a solution or peace that would be just and good for one. And what is peace? Peace is not just the absence of war or conflict. Many countries in this world, they don't have war or conflict, but they lost the human peace that we need more in our life. And peace is about justice. Peace is about freedom, about health, about a way of life that we can live it. That's the peace we want. But at the same time, we have to understand that my peace is linked to your peace. I am not in peace as long as others are not. It's the peace of all, and I am sure you feel it. Take it at your own family. If any of your family is sick or feeling unwell, and you go to work, how do you feel? Your mind is not there. You don't have that peace of mind. So we as human beings in this world, the unit structure of our body is the cell. If one cell is impacted or sick, the whole body will react with suffering and disease. And the same, if one human being is not living the right peace we want, all of us will complain and suffer as a result of that peace. We all in this world face risk and live and ride the same boat in our world. And we need all to have that peace to protect the boat we are living and we are riding, not to allow anyone to do harm to it. And for those who think we are far from risk, to remind them of the saying of Martin Niemöller, who was a German Protestant theologist. At the times of the Nazis, he said, they came first. They came first for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the Catholic. And I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Catholic. Then they came for me. Sadly, by that time, no one was left to speak out to. So we need to proact, not to wait. The fire is not far from us in this world. We need to proact to prevent, not to manage conflicts. Conflicts can be managed. And we can't heal from it. So instead of that, we need to prevent any conflicts. Prevention is the most efficient and effective mean for any conflict. And there are causes and reasons for any conflict. And there are signals coming before any disease. So we need to project and see it, not to wait till we have the patients. In medicine, we call it, we have a prodroma. So we need to project what is going to happen and to intervene, not to wait till the patient is fully sick and cancer is spreading everywhere. By the end of the day, we will lose our patient and we will lose hope and we will suffer and pay the price of it. We know, all we know in this world, how to defeat diseases and cancer. We defeated diseases. We defeated cancer. We also know how to defeat the injustice and poverty in this world. We know that, and we can do it. I fully believe that we have the knowledge, the talent, the strength, but we need the goodwill. We need the goodwill to make the world a better one by sharing our humanity and to realize that there are no passengers on a spaceship Earth. We all in this world, we all are a crew, and we all are impacted by what is happening in it. I believe that the more action is needed than just mere reactionary. When we see any disaster, just to react for humanitarian aids and then to fade up and to leave the people there with their pain, with their suffering. In any conflict, it's not only the humanitarian aids. What is remaining, what is needed for rehabilitation of the broken hearts, souls, it needs generations to heal and to recover. And all of that, it needs from all of us to be honest and true with ourselves. Without a truth, there can be no healthy, safe, free, or secure society. Because in medicine, we practice our ethical values to be honest and true with our patients. And we need to say to the patient, you are sick, you have this disease, and we are there to help you. We are there to cure you. And the patient at the same time, in order to be cured and to be healed, he has or she has to admit and to seek a treatment. The patient will never be cured as long as he or she denies that they are sick. And many of us are sick. But because of our ignorance, our arrogance, we don't want to admit that we are sick with it and to seek the treatment. Without the truth, the human communication, it breaks down, and distrust, hostility, and force take over. Truth is therefore of fundamental importance to the harmonious and peaceful individuals who constitute the society that we all lost this aspect of life. Light is more than just an abstract. Light is the truth, and education is the light where you are here to get it, which leads us in darkness. If light is the truth, then darkness must be the lies. Truth goes side by side with the responsibility. We need to be responsible, and that's the greatest challenge for all of us, to take responsibility. It's the responsibility of all, and in particular, the intellectuals, you, to speak the truth and expose the lies. Each and every lie we tell, first to ourselves and others, casts the shadow of separation upon us. Honesty and the truth mean doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. There is nothing in life that you can do to change the past, but you can make wiser choices and decisions and be free and learn the lessons of the past. And that's what I learned from my life. I can't return my daughters who were killed, but I will never accept what happened. And I am ready to take the responsibility, number one, to move forward. And what can I do? To challenge it and to save others' lives and even to make of this tragedy something good. You have, and this message for you as students, you have to believe that you have the power to create a better life for ourselves and others. A humanity should unite us to find solutions to our human challenges. Don't say no. After you try, then you can decide if you want to say no. Be open to others and to change. Apply a sense of openness, wonder, and curiosity in your life. As I said, look around, ask questions, experience, learn, then you can decide to act. Life is what we make it. Always has been, always will be. It's in our hands. Life for me is a doorway. We can shape it the way we want. Don't blame others. We can shape it and make it. Don't play in life the role of victim. I was a victim, but I don't accept it. To be stigmatized as being a victim and waiting for others to help me. Instead of that, I am there to help others and to move forward. You can have the power to move forward. When you default into being the victim, you allow others to have power over you. So we need that our enemies in this world are our ignorance, our arrogance, our greed and fear, our ignorance of ourselves. So we need to know each other. We need to learn and to connect with each other. And knowing, as someone may think, knowing is to know the name, to know the face. Knowing is not to know the name or face. Knowing, when you read others, when you connect with their hearts, you read them from their eyes, you show passion and respect to them. The one you know, without talking, you read them. Once you meet them, you see there is something wrong happening. So that's important what we need. And no people in this world can be ignorant or arrogant and free at the same time. So we must be free from our ignorance, our greed and fear. And when we speak about peace, peace is not going to happen. It's not a word. We need to work hard for it and to believe in it. The more we sweat in peace, the less we bleed in war and in life. So it's time. It's time to work. It's time to act. We need in this world to rewire the leadership model of our world. So it's a matter of actions. I treat patients. The patient is not coming to me just to talk to him or her. They want to be healed and cured. To give them a prescription by the end of the day to be healed and recover. If I continue talking to them, they will lose faith because they are suffering. So it's a matter of action and not to underestimate your actions. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our human friends and brothers and sisters." So we need to act and not to underestimate your action. Whatever the size of your action, it makes a difference in others' lives. To give hand, to give a smile, to give a touch, to say good morning to your neighbor, it makes a difference in others' lives. So we need to act. And that's what I learned from my daughter, Bisan, when she said, "Everything starts small, then becomes big. Everything starts in one place and goes in different directions." And for those who underestimated their action and they are fearing to do, the story of the young girl who one day was sitting on the seashore when a heavy tide threw hundreds of starfish. What did she do as a girl? She started to throw them one by one into water. Because as a girl who believes in life, who gives life, to save life and to sacrifice for others, she started to throw them one by one into water. A man came and looked at the girl. "What are you doing?" He was surprised. She said, "I am saving lives." He said, "It's not going to make any difference because there are hundreds." But she was confident. And she believed in what did she do. And she taught him a lesson with evidence-based practice. When she threw another starfish into water, and said to him, it made a difference to that one. Let that one fish be your action. That is more small action to make a difference in our world, and not to underestimate it. The ocean starts by one drop, but we need all. One can do everything, but each of us can do something. Can each of us ask, what can he do? Not outside, but to start with your local community, your home here at the university. Then when you, where do you live? Outside. Because you need to be strong. You need to be healthy. You need to have peace in mind in order to spread health, peace, and to act for others. That's what is needed from all of us. A tragedy in life can't be the end of our lives. We can't allow and don't allow it to control and defeat us. That's what is needed from all of us. For any human being, anyone on earth, freedom is essential, crucial to our dignity and our ability to be fully human. Freedom of sickness, freedom of need, freedom of fear. That's what do we need. And to understand that freedom is the most holy thing in the universe, in addition to a human being. Human life is the most holy, the most valued life by God. We need to start to get rid of these barriers inside our minds, mental, physical, psychological. They are artificial barriers we created. Start to smash them and destroy them. And I learned it when I believed in myself. What can I do? What can I achieve in my life? I made it to be the one I want now and today. And the first day I learned, when I arrived to Canada with my children, we arrived 8 o'clock in the morning. I went to my house, and my daughter Rafa, who was 10 years old, when I introduced myself to our neighbor, she asked if they have children. And they have children. She went to play with them on that morning, the first day. After 2 hours, he came, and she brought the children with her. 6 to 8 hours later, my neighbor is coming, and to say, Zeldine, you have your children, I have my children. They will go to the same public school. And we love our children, because for me, and I am sure for you, children are the life and the beauty of life. And they give us life, and we are accountable to them. We brought our children to give them as they give us. He said, instead of allowing them to move from the front yards, the front doors, why not to have a big space for them? Why not to take the wooden fence of the backyards? The first day of my arrival to Canada was to smash physical barriers, not to build walls of separation. So it's in our hands. We need to overcome these challenges. For me, the message is spreading and it's hopeful. Another woman from Canada, and I receive on a daily basis, just today, when I spoke at the interfaith, and for me, I can say it's a blessing to my daughters. I did my part, and I will leave energized and connected with you, with the impact we have. When a woman who came from Washington and she made her visit to this university to be at the same time I am speaking here, and to say, You changed my life. This touched me. And I can say to my daughters, the tragedy made an impact in others' lives. Her life changed. And that's the blessing, that's the good deed. Not with anger, not with hatred, but with wisdom, with determination, with courage, with persistence. One of the women in Canada who wrote me after she read the book to say to me, my first child was born on August this year. I named her Bisan, after your first daughter, Bisan. Meeting you and hearing your message has stayed with me. It's so important to the future that generations after us continue to work on peace and in rejecting conflict. Move forward with the humility and courage to do so. This is what I hope to instill in my daughter over the years to come. Thank you for being part of our lives. I thank her for keeping my daughter alive and to carry the name of Bisan. And in May 2014, when we have the third gala dinner, we named a fellowship in pediatric surgery under the name of Bisan, of that girl. That's the way we want to make and to change our world in order to bring the peace we want and we need to practice these values, that life and the blood of all is equal and precious. And when you see any suffering in this world, do something to stop it, not to watch it, to speak louder and to be a strong advocate, because by the end of the day, we all bleed the same color. And violence begets violence. Hatred begets hatred. Where is the humanity in this world and any sanity? We need to stop it. As I said, there is no cause to justify the killing of anyone. In memory of my daughters and to keep them alive, Daughters for Life was established for education of girls and women from the Middle East. Education which connects people, enables people to look around and to ask. Education which helps to change the environment and the context to a healthy, peaceful, safe, and secure one. Establishing a just, safe, secure life is the duty and function of education and women's education, because the strongest members in my society and yours are women, and we are in debt to women. In a time and the world of despair and loss of hope, but women in this world have maintained the hope. And we need to learn from them and to nourish and spread this hope. That's why I am optimistic and will keep hopeful and fighting about our future, because I know when we all come together as men and women, elders and the children, for the collective good, for all people, and the advancement of our communities and societies, the whole world will benefit. Women are the balance of our world. Women are the reason the world and we have made it this far, and women are the only hope this world has to rise up and reach its greatness. All humans are capable of achieving, not just imagining. Women give life. Women nurture life. Let all of us work to give the women the right means, the right education, to practice the right role in order to make the change in our world. That's what is needed from all. In that way, I can keep my daughters alive. And I say to them, your holy souls and noble blood wasn't futile. It made a difference in others' lives. But which means? These are the good deeds. These are the good actions we can use. The wisdom, the talent, the courage you have. And the good actions we can. It's not with hatred. And I will finish with the poem which was written in memory of my daughter, Bisan. Because Bisan, she wasn't only a daughter. She was a friend. She was advisor. I learned a lot from her. I missed her. I missed her advice, her support, where I feel I am lonely without her. She was the one to back me after the loss of her mother when she said to me, count on God and our support. I believed in her. She was the one when I sent to these camps at the age of 14 and to come back and to say to me, I found out how similar are we as Muslims, as Jewish, as Christians, as Druze. Our children, they found out how similar are we. But we deepen the divide and we make this divide and discrimination. At the age of 14, she said, to meet violence with violence doesn't solve any problem. There is an alternative. And we need to search that. So I encourage to listen to our children, to engage them in decision making, because they are not spoiled. They say what do they feel without any personal interest, and not to underestimate them. So the poem which says, where love resides, in memory of Bisan. I long to touch you, Bisan, one more time, to hug you, to tell you how sorry I am that your mom died. But now you two are gone. Your smiling face, your gentle way, your softness, your non-judgmental words, your pain for your people, your way of life, your dreams, aspirations, and your hope for peace. Just days before the war, I spoke with your dad. He gave me your phone number. It's still in my car. Every day I glance at the number, seeing your name, Bisan. I wish I had spoken with you more, but I didn't have the guts. I spoke with you 3 days before you died. I told you that I am praying for your safety. My prayers were not heard. Through the shelling, the bombing, the Qassam, the smoke, I feel I have been betrayed by God, by my country, by the cruelty of humanity, by the warmongers, by those who think violence is the solution. And with all of this, I have been given a gift to have spent six weeks with Shada Zeddin. I heard no words of revenge, nor hatred. I heard no anger. I heard the deep belief that peace is possible, Even with this enormous loss, I have been strengthened from their strength. I am more determined from their determination. I am more at peace from their peacefulness. Bisan, forgive me for not being able to save you from my own people. Forgive me for giving you hope that peace is possible and then taking that dream from you. You will be always my symbol of hope, peace, and mostly gentleness. Your dad shared the dream with me. Days after you died, he came into a room full of men. And there you were, sitting amongst them. He asked you, why are you sitting here, Bisan? You know it is not acceptable in our society. You answered, all is fine now, Dad. I am happy and well. I can be here now among the men where I am needed. May no other woman need to die in order to be able to influence the men as you have, Bisan. May we women be heard and heeded, and may the men in this world get the chance to know from deep within their hearts that this is where the answer lies, in their hearts, where love resides. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll take time for some questions. If you have questions, raise your hand and I'll recognize you and we'll try to do a few questions. Anyone? Over here.
I am struck by your comments about the responsibility of education is to unmask the lies and tell the truth. And the reason that strikes me so much is that in 1995, the survivors of the Jesuit priest killing in El Salvador said those very words to an EMU group of cross-cultural students. And it appears to me that that is known through suffering. I'd like to hear you say a bit more about what are the lies that we need to unmask?
Because the truth is important, and even in medicine, for me, truth is about the right diagnosis. It's the light, because when we practice medicine, we need the truth from our patients to tell us the right history so we have the right diagnosis and to set up the right treatment. Sometimes in this world, we see it. Either we are misinformed, or stereotyped, or there are people with certain interests to spread lies because of their own interest. But by the end of the day, the lies, it has a short thread. We can discover these lies. Because in medicine, if the patient is not honest with us and to have the right diagnosis, we will start the treatment depending on the diagnosis we have, then there is no improvement. So that's what is needed. So we start re-evaluation of the situation and to say, what's wrong? Maybe the diagnosis is wrong. And the diagnosis is wrong because of the wrong history we have. So we need the right history, the right truth, the light to set up the right treatment.
Other questions? Somewhere earlier in your presentation, you talked about the need for power to move from being a victim. My question really deals with that. Where does that power come from? Because a lot of people can't move away from being a victim.
For me personally, what helped me to move from being a victim and to be challenged in life all of the time, it's my faith. Faith is helpful. Number two, education is helpful. The kind of education and the way you are educated, the educational life that you have. Number three, life experience. It helps us. We have to move because, as Einstein said, and I said it yesterday, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep balanced, we need to keep moving. Keep moving. You can't stop. Otherwise, you are stagnant and you are drowning. Life doesn't stop with the first tragedy we face or the first challenge in life. But the opposite, we need to be moved. I can say to you, this year, with the last, what we call it, war, I was in Canada. I felt the anger. What can I do? My people there are killed. I saw in them my daughters. I didn't think of my daughters. I was thinking of these children. What can I do to save and to help? I felt the anger to speak out, to write, to communicate with the world, to stop the bloodshed and to think of saving lives. And I felt the force pushing me and pulling me from there. I have to be there. And to take the risk, I went there. I went there to be, to visit the graves of my daughters, to be energized. And I came back fueled with energy, with hope to do more. So we don't need, because with victim, being victimized, you are weak. And you give that opportunity to the perpetrator to defeat you and to attack you and will be happy to enjoy seeing you as a victim. Don't give him that opportunity. He or she, they want to see you drowning in hatred as a victim, as a weak, as a broken, as defeated one. Instead of that, to say, you did it. You tried to kill me, and in life, I can say to you, someone can kill, can destroy, can demolish, can imprison, but no one, don't allow to be defeated. The defeat is the defeat of the soul and the spirit, the spirit. Be strong, take it, energized. The wound is there. It's not going to disappear. The scar is there. But let it to energize you, to motivate you to jump beyond it. That's the way not to be a victim, because once you become a victim, you lost the power. You are paralyzed and shut down.
Other questions?
Yes.
Our piece is connected with your piece and vice versa, and I can see that that's true, but what is it that connects one person's piece with another person's piece?
First of all, piece of the individual, the family, the community, the society, and the national piece. You see it, disease. Does disease cross barriers or not? Disease crosses barriers. You see it, take it as an example, Ebola and many of the epidemics, it crosses barriers. And we all, we are impacted by it. We fear it. When you go to any country, what did you do? Immunization to take certain precautions. So we suffer as a result of that. At the same time, when we start with the individual piece and the family piece, within the family, if someone is suffering, even when you have exam, and you are living with your parents, what do you think of your parents? Are they worried about you or not? When you do the exam, they are thinking, what is he going? Once you come back, they will ask you, what did you do? I do it with my children when they have exam. How was it? What is the result? I am worried all of the time. So I want to have that peace of mind, to have the joy and the happiness. So that's important. That's the peace of mind. When I can say to you, I was in Germany 2 weeks ago. I was stuck at the airport because of the visa issue as a Palestinian. All of the time they want to remind me I am different. I am different, that I am determined, and this will never weaken me. I was sad. I want, even at that moment, I said, never mind. If they want to return me, It doesn't matter. I don't regret. But I was sad for the people who organized the visit and the meetings I am going to have. While I am there, sitting, to receive a phone call that my son didn't go to school. Though because that's what I do. Every day at 7 o'clock, I call them to wake up to go to school. So I said, what's going on? Why? He went to school. So I called my daughter. She said to me, in his way to the school, he was running, and he fell down, and he broke his arm. At that moment, my mind wasn't in Germany. I want to go back home. During the whole week, I am in Germany, but my mind, my spirit, my whole is with my son. I can't wait. I want to finish it, to go there, to hug him, to see him, because I want to be with him at that moment. That's the peace of mind we want, which is connected me to my son, to my family, my brothers in Gaza, my friends who saw it, my daughters. They bought the photo, the x-rays on the Facebook. All of our friends, they have to be worried about him. So that's the peace we want, and that's the health which can connect all of us. Yes, I say to them, don't be pro-Palestinians only. Because if they want to be pro-Palestinians only, this means anti-Israelis. They want to speak to the Israelis, to say to them, what are you doing is not helpful to you. Number one, to have the evidence, to learn, not to be deceived, not to be stereotyped, because the media and what is going on sometimes, it's deceiving. It's directed to serve a certain agenda. And don't listen to it, think of it. I say to people, first, don't listen to Palestinians. Go there and judge by yourself. As many of you here, they have been there, and they saw it, they experienced it, so when they come back, they need to speak out about it. To learn, to speak, to write, to communicate, to join organizations, to organize activities, to show to the truth we are talking about, to overcome this big lie. And this will help not only Palestinians, it helps Israelis to save them from their arrogance, from their occupier mentality, that they have to live side by side with the Palestinians, not as occupiers, as a free nation side by side to the Palestinians. That's what is needed, and it happened in this world. It's not the only conflict in this world. There were many conflicts, more complicated than the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. But what makes it complicated, what makes the evil to flourish, is good people to do nothing, watching it. We need to act and to show the truth and to speak and to write and to have a pressure on the decision makers, to communicate with them, to tell them it's not going to work in that way. It's not the responsibility of the Palestinians. It's the responsibility of the international community, in particular, the United States administration and the European Union, the community, and the world. And even these governments, it's by the people. So the people themselves, they need to act and to speak out to them, to write, to donate, to volunteer, to teach each other about the situation. By the end of the day, putting an end to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, where Palestinians to enjoy their freedom in a free, independent state side by side to Israel, living as neighbors, the whole world will benefit from that.
Good work. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing with us today. We appreciate your passion and your openness, and it's been inspiring for us all.
Thank you.
Again, wait just a minute. If you want to move on up to where the book table is, there are books out there, and our speaker will be there to sign books if you want to purchase some. So let's give him a moment to get up there, and we'll give him a hand of applause as he
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.